I called for my sister the other day, and she was just checking in with me, and I was checking in with her, as we do occasionally. But she said this time she had another reason for calling. She said it's been about a couple months now since my dad passed away, and it would be the grandfather, of course, of her kids. And she said that her little third grader, my nephew Braden, was coming up with some questions because he was struggling to understand some of these deep mysteries of our faith at his age. It's interesting because what kids struggle with, we're usually still struggling with as an adult, trying to, you know, understand these mysteries of our faith. But usually as an adult, we've come to usually maybe some point of surrender that we're just not going to figure it out. But not so with kids. They're not going to rest till they get the answer. And so my young nephew was asking my sister, well, where did Grandpa go? And I know he went to heaven, but where is heaven? And so my sister told him, she said, well, heaven is, you know, it's up there somewhere, you know. And that wasn't good enough. And so my little nephew said, well, where? Where up there? And happened to be in the evening, you know, about 8 o'clock or so. And so she said, well, she didn't know how to answer. So she said, well, let's go out on the deck and I'll show you, trying to pacify him. And so they went out on the deck and she said, up there, up in the sky. And you know, my little nephew said, well, where though? But, you know, is it by the moon? Is it on the moon? Is it beyond the moon? What? What's going on here? And she said, well, no, it's not by the moon or on the moon. He said, well, is it over by that star? Is it over by that star? And he kept pointing, and she kept saying, no, no, no. And my sister was having a hard time explaining to him. And so finally, after about 5 minutes of his insistence to know where Grandpa was in this heaven, she said, you know what, we're just going to call your Uncle Sean. You know, so that was one of the questions that I had. And I said, well, to my sister, I said, Joey, you did the best job you could. You know, there really isn't something that we can point to and say, yeah, that's definitely where heaven is. So we know for this great mystery from the gospel is that Jesus says it exists, that his kingdom exists. Is it in another dimension somewhere? Is it beyond the galaxy? Where is it? Well, we know that it's there and it's waiting for us. And when we practice our faith and when we live it out, we don't have to completely understand where it is. That's not so important. The important thing is that we do what we need to do to get there, and that is to love. But we know that life is full of mysteries everywhere we turn, especially not only in the regular things that we experience in life, and science always tries to figure those out for us, but the mysteries of our faith, that's what the church tries to figure out for us, at least to some degree that we're comfortable with them and that we can live with the little knowledge that we have in this life. Of course, when we get to heaven someday, that knowledge will be greatly expanded and we'll understand much more. But we have to wait till we get there. And so we celebrate the greatest mystery of all, and that is our God today, our God, one God in three divine persons. And so the reassuring thing for us, at least as adults, and hopefully my nephew will get there, he will at some point, is that God understands himself. God understands himself completely, and he knows how he operates. And so therefore, it's not really that important that we understand him completely in this life, because we never will. And that certainly shouldn't make us afraid, because we can't understand him, because God is in control of everything. And so we have to, or we're called to have that faith and trust in him. But what can we learn from this great mystery of the Holy Trinity today? You know, many of the mysteries of life and the afterlife, God asks us to accept with faith in this life. However, we should already know what God has revealed somewhat. We get clues to that in our gospel today. And that is the Holy Trinity of one God and three divine persons, which are inseparable. know, God has tried to explain that in simple ways to us through the inspiration of the saints. St. Patrick tried with the little clover leaf in Ireland, this one small plant with three distinct leaves. Modern day analogies, I've heard of an egg. You know, you have the shell, you have the white of the egg, you have the yolk of the egg. Three things that are kind of separate, but together as one. You know, you can't completely separate them anymore, or it would no longer be an egg in that sense, you know. And so we can also know through the teachings of the church that each person of the Holy Trinity has this perfectly loving relationship with the other. In fact, St. Augustine said that the Father sees himself in the Son as if looking at his own reflection in the mirror, and the love that's generated in this relationship between the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. And it's this love that is poured out upon us as God's children through the Spirit in our day and age. And so we don't understand completely the fullness of that mystery, but we can understand that call to love, that mission that Jesus gives us, that the Trinity gives us. And so we're called to model that love in our own relationships with each other more than anything else. And sometimes we do that pretty well when we're in a good state, when we're in a good spiritual state especially, but other times we fall short of this call through our own sinfulness and we obstruct that power of the Holy Spirit and the work the Holy Spirit is trying to do in our lives. And so many of us, as we pray, I'd say all of us, receive challenges from the Holy Spirit in prayer to grow in love, to do a little bit extra for our loved ones, for our neighbors, in our communities, and I dare say our enemies at times, especially in showing that great love of forgiveness. The challenge always remains to love through the Holy Spirit, to show just a little bit more mercy in our lives, a little bit more forgiveness, and a little bit more love, even when justice and punishment seem more appropriate from time to time. But today, as I said, we are called to model that love that has been modeled for us in such a perfect way by the Holy Trinity in their relationship. And so the challenge for us as Christians is to keep our hearts open to the work and inspiration of the Holy Spirit through prayer. For it's the power of prayer, it's the power of the Eucharist that works in our lives. And these really are the only things that can truly help us to grow, not only in our relationship with God, but also in our relationship of love with one another.